He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better.
Geraldo.
77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Honestly, I have to do it. You know, we have to make America great again, and this is part of the process you have to go through. It's not something I long for. It's not something I look forward to being exposed like that, you know. But, hey, look, I went to the best schools. I was a very good student. I made a tremendous fortune, which I guess tells something. And, you know, between The Apprentice and The Art of the Deal and all the books, I mean, you know, I've been doing this for a long time. But, again, debating is not something. I guess my whole life is a debate. When you get right down to it. But, Trish, it's not something that, you know, I do professionally, and these guys do it professionally, but I think we'll do just fine.
You sound like you're managing expectations. You're setting the bar low, and, you know, we can all be surprised.
I want to set it as low as possible. I want to set that bar so low. I want to set that bar so low you have no idea.
I want to set that bar so low you have no idea. Hey, welcome everybody to Geraldo in the Morning here at WABC 770 in New York. Judge Andrew Napolitano, Geraldo's good buddy from the Fox News Channel, sitting in for my vacationing friend today, 866-Geraldo, 866-437-2536. What else is there to talk about but these debates? Remember, there are two debates tonight. This is not an infomercial for the Fox News Channel, but let's face it, everybody's going to be watching these things. I'm going to be watching these things. I'm going to give you some predictions, and I want you to weigh in on them and even challenge my predictions. The first debate on the Fox News Channel tonight at 5 o'clock Eastern is the five candidates who were the five lowest of the 17, some of them not even registering numbers, like the former governor of the state of New York, a friend of mine, George Pataki, the former governor of the state of Virginia, Jim Gilmore, the former governor of the state of Texas, Rick Perry, the current governor of the state of Louisiana, Bobby Jindal, the former CEO of Hewlett-Packard, a wonderful, intelligent woman. I don't know that she's presidential caliber, but she certainly shook the place at Hewlett-Packard in an all-male dominated environment, Carly Fiorina. And then, of course, the main event, which actually starts at 8:50 Eastern tonight, and we don't know when it's going to be over. The reason we don't know when it's going to be over is because here are the rules. When a question is put to a candidate, the candidate has 60 seconds to answer. If the candidate taunts, challenges, or mentions the name of another candidate in those 60 seconds, that candidate gets 30 seconds. So theoretically, Donald Trump, who will get a minute to answer a question, the first question goes to him, could taunt so many of the other folks on stage that you're going to add 30 seconds for Chris Christie, 30 seconds for Rand Paul, 30 seconds for Jeb Bush, 30 seconds for Scott Walker, and that, you know, adds up the time. So, honestly, I'm not revealing any secrets. Fox News is prepared to go until midnight tonight, but they don't know when this is going to end. They expect it will end around 11:15 or 11:20, but it depends on how many of those added on 30-second response times have to be put there. So what happens if the Donald blows through his 60 seconds? How are they going to stop him from talking beyond 60 seconds? I heard, I don't know if this is true, and maybe I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, I heard they have a cowbell. Now, not literally a cowbell, but a button they can press on the computer that sounds like a cowbell, which is so loud and so intrusive, it will stop the Donald in his tracks. 866-437-2536. Listen, the cowbell, this thing that Crash is playing now is nothing compared to Fox's cowbell. Let me tell you, I've heard the cowbell. They used it on me once off air to see if it could silence me. It silenced me. It'll silence the Donald. But you tell me what you think about it. Couple of predictions tonight. Chris Christie will go after the Donald. Chris Christie has suffered the most by the entry of the Donald into this race. Chris Christie, who 4 years ago was the darling of the Republican Party, 6 months ago was up around 15%, is now down around 2.5 to 3.5%, depending upon which poll you look at. And where did those numbers come from? Where did those numbers go to? They went to the Donald. Chris Christie is going to attack Rand Paul because Chris Christie despises libertarian views. He doesn't despise libertarian people, as far as I know, since I am one. But he despises libertarian views. He has a different view of the Constitution, and he's going to taunt and tease Rand Paul. Rand Paul will distinguish himself from all others. Rand Paul will say, you see everybody else on that stage? They're all in favor of the Obama spy machine, listening to all your phone calls and reading all your emails rather than following the Constitution, which says the government has to present some suspicion, some probable cause, some evidence about you before it can get a warrant to invade your privacy. All those people there, from the Donald down to John Kasich, who's on the other side of me, Governor Kasich of Ohio, they're all in favor of the George Bush, Barack Obama spy machine, and I'm in favor of fidelity to the Constitution. That, at least, is the taunt that I expect that Rand Paul will set out. What do you think? 866-437-2536. We have some interesting people in addition to those of you who are listening and who want to get involved in this who will be on. In about 10 minutes, we have Hank Shinecoff. Hank Shinecoff is a brilliant Democratic strategist who spent a lot of time attempting to manage one William Jefferson Clinton, who's about as unmanageable as the Donald. He'll give us some thoughts about what to look for tonight, who will break through. Here's a question for you. Will the Donald be presidential or bombastic? I say he will be bombastic again. It is too early in the game for Donald Trump to be presidential. He still needs to be bombastic, because every time he's bombastic, do we have another example of the Donald's bombast crash? If we do, just throw it right in. Every time this guy's bombastic, listen to this. His poll numbers go up.
Probably am the target, and I was very honored to see that two men that really did attack me very viciously, actually, and I only attacked back after they started, but they went down very substantially. In fact, Lindsey Graham went down to zero, so the voters were fantastic as far as I'm concerned.
You know, he is right. Governor Christie did attack the Donald. They are very good friends. I was at Governor Christie's first inauguration. I sat next to Mr. and Mrs. Donald Trump. But Christie, candidly, behind the scenes, is furious that the Donald has entered the race with a personality bigger, larger, louder, longer than Christie's, and appealing basically to the same type of person, sort of moderate, middle-of-the-road Republicans who are fed up with the establishment and who like somebody who's unfiltered, somebody who says exactly what's on their mind. I don't know about saying it like it is. Christie is a politician like everybody else, but he does give the impression of being unfiltered. Of course, nobody gives that impression the way that Donald does. My argument is that Donald has clobbered Governor Christie in the polls. And for Governor Christie to be meaningful in the polls, for Governor Christie to get an audience in Iowa and New Hampshire, to which he's going this weekend, he needs to have a good night tonight, and he needs to go after the Donald in order to do it. The Donald, as you just heard, is laying low this week, believe it or not. He is lowering the bar. He's saying, I'm not a debater. I'm a doer. I'm not experienced standing in front of a camera and listening to Bret Baier, Megyn Kelly, and Chris Wallace ask me questions. I'm in favor of you're fired. I'm in favor of telling people what to do. And when I tell people what to do, they do it. Otherwise, they get fired. And, of course, this is a legitimate approach, I suggest to you, for the Donald to take. On the other hand, I think you're going to see the good old-fashioned bombast tonight from the Donald. You are not going to see somebody looking or sounding presidential. Two other things I want to talk about before we take the break and then go to your calls. You know the number, 866-HERALDO, 866-437-2536. By the way, Geraldo is on vacation. I don't want to say where, but he's about 5,000 miles from here. Gets into a blanking contest with one of the Donald's people, Roger Stone, on social media, in which they each are hurling insults at the other. Now, they're both friends of mine. They are both tenacious guys. They're both in very good shape. One is brilliant in one way. The other is brilliant in another way. Geraldo, you're on vacation. You still got to get in these fights? Yes, apparently he does. We'll let that one play out and see where it goes. My good friend John Stewart, his last show is tonight. I have been on that show 6 times. You would say, Judge Knapp, you're a libertarian. What are you doing with a liberal Jewish progressive? How is your friend? You know, opposites attract. We became very good friends. And when he wanted to have a serious, but not always serious, sometimes ridiculous conversation about where liberal progressives and libertarians agree, and we do agree on a lot of things, particularly civil liberties, particularly Rand Paul's argument that the government can't spy without a search warrant. The search warrant's got to be based on probable cause, because that's what something called the Constitution says. John and I agreed. But tonight is John's farewell. Many of us taped little parts of farewell mementos to him. They asked me instead to be on for the show about a month ago, which was my final appearance with him. The other issue that I have to raise with you today, and my good friend and colleague Mike Savage says this more potently than anybody, Hillary's finished. Hillary's done. The Democrats will wake up in about 2 weeks and find out that her homes and her offices have been raided by the FBI and that she's about to be indicted. Indicted for failure to protect classified materials, the same crime for which General David Petraeus was indicted. Indicted for theft of government property because she rerouted all of the emails through her and her husband's server rather than the State Department server. I predict that that's what will happen. And the Democrats, who usually don't wake up to this stuff, will wake up and realize that she cannot win an election because she's a crook. And the government will have to prosecute her for it. 866-437-2536. Napolitano in for Rivera. Right back with you in a flash.
Meeting in questions. You can take all the questions. Now, if they're going to ask, you know, tricky wise guy questions, you know, that would be very unfair, in my opinion, because there's plenty of them you could ask, too. And that would be very unfair. And, you know, I'm sure they'll be called out, whether it's me or somebody else, if they're going to ask, you know, like let's study history from 22 years ago. So we're going to find out what they're going to ask. We're going to see if they're well-intentioned or not.
866-Geraldo, 866-437-2536. Judge Napolitano in for Geraldo Rivera on the line with us, my good friend, and with apologies to Doug Schoen, the smartest Democratic strategist I know, Hank Scheinkopf. Hank, doctor, rabbi, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Judge. How are you doing today?
I'm well, thank you. I'm anxious to hear what a true blue, dyed-in-the-wool Democrat who has had history managing or mismanaging or unmanaging Bill Clinton thinks we should look for tonight.
Look for tonight is a bunch of Republicans who are going to do their best to carve their own territory so they can stand out a little from the rest.
Will the Donald
be confused in the process of doing it?
Will the Donald be bombastic or presidential? Should he be, if you were managing him, if anybody could, if you were advising him, bombastic or presidential?
It seems clear that the Donald is well rehearsed in doing the things that he thinks he needs to do to burnish the Trump brand now as presidential timber. It's quite likely that he'll be less bombastic. He won't take any abuse from anyone, but he'll be less bombastic, probably a bit more programmatic, so he can move into more into the mainstream while holding on to his populist credential.
One of the ways he's gotten, Henry, those populist credentials is to attack the media. Does he attack the very media that is giving him an unbelievable forum tonight? I don't mean Fox News, but does he go after Megyn Kelly or Chris Wallace or Bret Baier if he doesn't like the question?
If he doesn't like the question, he's going to respond appropriately. Why? Because those kinds of responses are what brought him to the present moment. The populist moment in this country is not just a Republican one, it's a Democrat one, and it's about attacking power. Washington, state capitals, Wall Street, and the media. And frankly, Joe Average and Joan Average like it a lot.
Okay, so which Donald Trump shows up tonight, if you saw Karl Rove's fascinating piece in the Wall Street Journal this morning, the one that said he's in favor of single-payer federal government paying for medical expenses like in Canada because he claims Canadians are healthier than Americans, the one who happily gave money to Hillary Clinton saying she's a great senator, I'm happy to support her, but because I gave her money, she does what I want her to do, or the one who says I'm a conservative, I've always been a conservative, I'm pro-life, I want to build wall around the borders and keep the bad guys out. Which one shows up?
The one that shows up is the one that understands that ideology is less important than saying what the people in the Midwest want to hear, which is the joke's over. They know they're not going back to work at the way they used to go back to work. They know things are going in the wrong direction in this country, and they want somebody who's got the courage to point it out and talk about ways to resolve it.
Does Chris Christie attack the Donald? And before you answer that, it is my I am of the view that the Donald has hurt Governor Christie the most, that Governor Christie's bombastic personality pales compared to the Donald's, and he's got to grab that stage back.
It's hard for Governor Christie to find a place in this pack because the Donald has taken his space both in action and behavior and probably in generalized ideas. So how Christie fits in is very, very difficult. He's got to take on the Donald in order to displace him. And there's only room for one person in that particular role this year. You know, there's no understudy. Understudies don't win. it's hard to see how Chris Christie gets into the game.
Does Rand Paul distinguish himself from all others? These guys want the Obama machine to spy on you. I don't. These guys want government to work well. I want to get rid of half of the government. These guys want to distribute wealth to poor people and for maternal health. I want you to be able to keep your wealth. These guys want boots on the ground. I want boots home. Does he resonate with the libertarian base by doing that? Resonating with the libertarian base, can he win?
The good news for libertarians is that Mr. Paul will be there, and he'll do and he'll say the things that libertarians want to hear and need to hear. The bad news for Mr. Paul is that he'll do exactly that, because that base is not significantly large enough. This is an important populist moment. Saib wrote about this in the Wall Street Journal a couple of weeks back, I think last week actually, that this is happening on both sides of the aisle, and this could be what we call a critical election. Both parties are going to have to respond not to what they want and not to the ideology they think important. They're going to have to respond to candidates, and this is a very big shift.
If the FBI raids the homes of Hillary Rodham Clinton and her offices looking for that server, is she finished?
If it appears that she is going to be the subject of serious inquiries by law enforcement, it's going to continue to be difficult for her to gain traction and the positive side of the poll scale.
But
what does that mean? It means Bernie Sanders or someone else or Joe Biden is going to gain some traction. Why? Well, you know, the truth is, if that doesn't happen for Secretary Clinton, she might very well be the nominee. And if she's the nominee, the only reason she doesn't become president is if the Republicans make a choice that makes some sense.
If Joe Biden enters the race, will that, for the Democratic nomination for president, will that effectively be a signal that the president is unleashing the FBI to conduct a real investigation of Mrs. Clinton and not one that is intended to exonerate her?
As you know, Judge, I don't like speculation much. But,
yeah, but you're so good
analysis.
At it, Hank. That's why you're here.
But I believe in analysis. So I don't think you can talk about the Justice Department apparatus, but what I think you can talk about is the politics. Joe Biden doesn't appear and Martin O'Malley don't appear just by accident. It's my contention, and I said this in a couple of books now, that the White House does not want the Clintons around running the Democratic Party apparatus for the next 4 to 8 years.
Okay, I appreciate you coming on, and one last question. What's the worst that could happen to the Donald tonight?
Worst that happens to Donald tonight is that he's too bombastic, people see him in a different light, and he loses that, hi, I'm your friend in your house kind of behavior. If he does that, he can be in very serious trouble.
What happens if, I said the last question, but one more. What happens when Brett Baer, Megyn Kelly, and Chris Wallace press him on specifics? How are you going to make the country better? How are you going to get the Mexicans to pay for the wall? How are you going to discipline the Chinese? You can't do it with bombast. You have to do it with policies, and you got to deal with a Congress.
He's going to have to say something that is prospective, not attacking people, and it's got to be programmatic that average Americans will understand, that the media will accept.
All right. Hank Shankoff, thanks very much for joining us. We take the break, of course. When we come back, 866-437-2536. I say the Donald comes across as the old Donald we know, love, and hate. What do you say? Horado in the morning, Napolitano in for him. Back in a flash.
And what's a win tomorrow night?
Well, I don't know. I can't answer the question. I don't want to attack anybody. And, you know, maybe I'll be attacked and maybe not. I'd rather just discuss the issues. But, you know, certainly I don't want to attack. If I'm attacked, I have to, you know, do something back. But I'd like it to be very civil.
Welcome back to Geraldo in the Morning. Judge Napolitano from Fox News in for my vacationing friend and colleague, Geraldo Rivera, 866-437-2536. Mark in Edison, New Jersey. Mark, good morning. Welcome to Geraldo in the Morning.
Good morning, Judge Napolitano. It's very nice to speak with you.
Thank you, Mark. What's on your mind?
Well, I know you were talking a little bit about Hillary in the emails.
Yes.
And I'm just curious, giving her the benefit of the doubt, by the way, I hate doing that, but giving her the benefit of the doubt, let's say when she was Secretary of State, nothing on her server was classified. But once she left that position, if that stuff was on her server and then became classified, isn't that by itself potentially a violation of the law?
All right. Those are good questions. I'll break it down and try and answer it as basically as I can. So there's a couple of violations of law. One, diverting federal government emails off of a government server is a crime. People are usually not prosecuted for it, but it is a crime. So by diverting all of her emails whether they're to her dentist or to her chief of staff or to Ambassador Stevens in Libya, through the server in Chappaqua that she owned or controlled, she violated a statute which required her to keep and preserve in the government's hands all government documents and property, because documents is defined as digital versions of information. Second, by destroying 33,000 emails on her own without letting the government even look at them, she destroyed government property. Third, by diverting away from a government-secured venue classified information, whether the word classified was stamped on it or not, she committed the same crime that General Petraeus was indicted for and to which he pleaded guilty. She will probably argue, Mark, that if the word classified was not on the email, it was not classified. She's wrong. What makes information classified is whether the revelation of that information could harm the nation. There's no magic by stamping the word classified on it. So let me tell you about the emails that I read. These are in the public domain. I don't have personal access to these. So they're in the public domain. If you go to the right website, you can get them. I read emails where Mrs. Clinton was discussing the location of French fighter jets over Libya and the targets they were going to attack. I read emails where Mrs. Clinton was discussing what part of the no-fly zone over Libya would be enforced by NATO and what part would be enforced by forces other than NATO. And I read at least one email to or from Mrs. Clinton concerning the whereabouts of the now assassinated but then very much alive Ambassador Stevens in Libya. Now, if people don't think that that stuff is classified simply because there was no classified stamp on it, then they don't understand how the government works, and they cannot give Mrs. Clinton the benefit of the doubt. That's the stuff the FBI is looking for, Mark.
Okay. But what about the fact that after she left the State Department, okay, if she had any of that stuff on her server, I'm saying after the fact, after
right,
she was
right,
there,
right.
And then somebody did stamp it classified, this way there's no question, wouldn't she also be guilty of something? I mean, I don't know what that something would be.
Well, if she still possesses, if she still possesses classified material in the server, wherever the server is, she's violating a statute because she doesn't have a classified clearance anymore. She said she gave classified.
Wasn't some of that classified after the fact?
It doesn't matter when it was classified. What determines the confidential nature is the essence of the information in there. So the government has three levels of classified. Top secret means if the information is revealed, it will likely cause grave harm to national security. Secret means if the information is revealed, it will likely cause serious harm to national security. Confidential means if the information is revealed, it will likely cause some harm to national security. General Petraeus was indicted and convicted for keeping confidential information, the lowest of the three levels, in black loose-leaf notebooks, in desk drawers in the study of his home because the drawers were unlocked. And you know what was in those loose-leaves? His calendar and his diary. That's how confidential this information is. Mrs. Clinton's calendar and diary is probably somewhere in the Kremlin or in Beijing because the person to whom she emailed this stuff, Sid Blumenthal, was hacked. Thanks very much for the call, Mark. Very much appreciated. Ferris from Cleveland, Ohio. Are you going to that debate tonight, Ferris?
We're on the ground out here, Judge Knapp, but I want to point out to you that you've made Patricia Kilty proud with your courageous and informed and educated approach to the problems that we face in this country.
Now, you tug at my heartstrings when
I'm
in New York and people can hear me in New Jersey, but I am a graduate of Bloomfield Senior High School, class of 1968, where I studied, among other things, Latin for 4 years, and my teacher was a wonderful human being who had a profound influence for my appreciation of the classics and the natural law, and her name was Patricia Kielty. Now, without getting too in the weeds, who are you, and how do you know Patricia Kielty, and how do you know that I'm one of her students? Do I know you?
Well, I've had the good fortune of knowing Ms. Kielty for many years, and my wife is a colleague and a dear friend of hers, And we've heard of your accomplishments and some of your not-so accomplishments that I won't bring up on the radio, but they are all admirable, and some of them are crafty and with a bit of wisdom mixed in. But you were gracious enough to write a letter on the occasion of her retirement dinner, which we had the pleasure of reading.
Yes.
And
yes.
It was just amazing of you. It demonstrates the measure of the man that you are.
Well, it's very nice to hear that. Thank you. I enjoyed writing that letter because I loved her then, even though she was very a stern disciplinarian, which I didn't appreciate at age 17. And I love her now. But let's get to what I really want to ask you about it. And thank you for bringing these warm, soft memories to me. Donald Trump, you still with us? Ferris? Ferris is gone. Okay, Andrew in Stanhope, New Jersey. Andrew, you are a neighbor of mine if you're in Stanhope, New Jersey. I'm not going to give exactly where I live, but I live very close to there on a farm in Sussex County. What's in your mind, Andrew? Welcome to Geraldo in the Morning.
In our neighborhood, there was not a shooter arrested in the movie theater, but a gunman with full body armor, two Glock rifles, and lots of ammunition.
Where, in Morristown?
In Morristown.
How long ago did this happen?
Six days ago.
Wow.
And yesterday there was an update, a press conference, and the big question or the big uproar was that the judge didn't order a psychiatric evaluation, and the mayor and everyone felt that that was shocking and that maybe there should be a federal law or a state law that if you're caught with illegal weapons, there should be mandatory.
All right, well, is this guy still in jail? Surely he didn't make bail.
He did. He's out on bail. His parents posted $100,000, which was the highest bail they could set. So I wanted to ask you, if the man commits a crime or, God forbid, goes on a shooting spree now that he's out, is that judge liable for not...
Well, the answer is no. Judges cannot be sued for decisions that they make on the bench, a rule that I enjoyed and appreciated in my years on the bench. I know that that can be frustrating, particularly if this guy is let out and he harms somebody. And in terms of the psychiatric exam, I mean, the courts only order psychiatric exams when the issue of the defendant's sanity is at play. Maybe he's not going to claim he was insane. Maybe there's a perfectly logical reason for him having worn this stuff. I don't know what it is, and I don't know the case. So there's no rule of thumb about a psychiatric exam must be ordered except when the defendant's lawyers say he's going to plead insanity. Then it's ordered, and there's obviously no liability whatsoever on the part of the judge for admitting him to bail. Thanks very much for the call. Steve in Belmore, Long Island. Steve, welcome here. Hello, Steve. Welcome to Geraldo in the
Hello.
Morning.
My son happens to be a special agent in diplomatic security. Mm. He was even assigned for the last few months of Clinton's term as Secretary of State to her security detail.
Right.
And traveled with her.
Right.
But there's no evidence, from what he told me. I mean, there's a limited amount of things he does tell me.
Right.
Because,
rightly
you know,
so.
Like, he's got a top secret clearance.
Right.
But there was no evidence of anyone trying to hack that server.
Oh.
Although,
okay, let me tell you. Let me tell you what was...
Let me finish, please.
Sure.
On the contrary, he has shown me where what the Chinese try to do often is to hack the BlackBerries that are used, which they so far haven't been successful in doing.
Okay, what was hacked was not her server, as far as I know. What was hacked was the email server used by her confidant, Sid Blumenthal. In fact, an agent of the Romanian intelligence services is serving a four-year jail term for having hacked Mr. Blumenthal's emails. And in Mr. Blumenthal's emails were tens of thousands of emails from Mrs. Clinton, some of which I suggest to you, I have not seen them, Steve, so I don't know personally, but some of which I suggest to you at least rose to the confidential level, since we know that the schedule of the Secretary of State, like the schedule of the President and the Director of the CIA, also are of the confidential level, and for that reason cannot be revealed. Thanks very much for the call. Hey, welcome back to Geraldo in the Morning. Judge Andrew Napolitano from the Fox News Channel filling in for the vacationing Geraldo, 866-GERALDO, 866-437-2536. I'm getting emails from my colleagues in Cleveland about what the candidates are doing now. Some of this stuff is crazy. Governor Pataki is saying a prayer and drinking a Diet Lemon Snapple. Carly Fiorina says she likes to be mentally focused and relaxed, so she's playing solitaire. Senator Lindsey Graham says he's taking his new phone, thanks to the Donald, and listens to Motown. Governor Walker going for a run. Governor Bush calling his mother for advice. Governor Huckabee watching a video from his most trusted political advisors, his grandchildren. All right, what do you think? Chris in New Jersey. Is this the Chris in New Jersey?
Your Honor, thank you for having me on.
Oh, it said Chris in New Jersey. I thought it might have been the Chris in New Jersey. You know, the one whose last name is Christie. But welcome here, Chris. What's in your mind?
Well, you know, I don't mind being compared to the governor. I actually like the governor. But
okay.
I had called in when you were talking about Donald Trump. I think he's going to be a little bit of both, bombastic and presidential.
Let me hear you.
You know, Donald Trump is a very bright man. And I believe if he truly wants to win, he's going to be prepared. He'll have in his mind a spreadsheet on everything he wants to do. If they ask him how he's going to put up a wall, he's probably got that down to, you know, 90% complete.
Well, do you think that for him the debate is a joke and it's entertainment, or for him the debate is an opportunity for him to introduce himself to that part of America outside the New York City metro area that doesn't know him?
I think the debate is the opportunity to this time around for him to show everyone that not only is he bombastic, he'll be in your face, but he is a total package where he'll have clear, concise answers that anyone, whether they be highly educated or
all right, do you agree with me that Christie has to go for his jugular to recapture the mantle of the most unfiltered person on the stage?
You know something? I don't know there. I can tell you this as a person from Jersey who does like Governor Christie.
Right.
Governor Christie lost my vote when he gave President Obama a hug in the last election cycle, and I think helped
Hug, which could have lasted for 30 seconds, lasted for 60 minutes. And the governor, for better or for worse, lost a lot of Republican votes that night.
Understood.
A lot of people are with you. Thanks for the call. Thanks for listening. We'll be back at the top of the hour with more on Geraldo in the Morning. Napolitano in for the great Geraldo Rivera. Talk to you soon. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Geraldo in the Morning. 866-GERALDO, 866-437-2536. Judge Andrew Napolitano from the Fox News Channel in for the vacationing Geraldo Rivera on the day of the great debate. Or will it be a great debate? Is it entertainment? Is it a joke? Or is it a serious debate? What will the Donald do? Will he be his usual bombastic self? Will he say, the rest of you are a bunch of losers and you know it? I'm not used to debating. I'm used to commanding. What will we see from the Donald? I think we're going to see the old Donald, the old bombastic Donald. I think it's too early in the day, too early in the campaign for him to start acting presidential. And Hillary, I think she's finished. Don't be surprised if the FBI raids their homes, their offices, the offices of the foundation, looking for confidential material that she has stashed away, which she was supposed to have turned over to the Department of State, which she was supposed never to have taken from the Department of State. Is Ed Rollins with us yet? Let me know, Shane, as soon as he's available. Okay, needs a couple of minutes. All right, in a few minutes, Ed Rollins, who managed Ronald Reagan's campaign for president in either 80 or 84. For those of you in New Jersey, managed the either first or second campaign of Christine Todd Whitman for governor of New Jersey, a dear friend of mine, a colleague from the Fox News Channel, and a person who can give us a lot of insight about what to expect tonight from the Donald, Mr. Rollins. Welcome here. Welcome to Geraldo in the Morning. I hope they told you it was going to be Napolitano instead of Rivera.
I knew that. How are you?
All right. Well, how are you? So what should we expect tonight? God love you. Does the Donald go presidential or bombastic tonight?
I think it's hard to tell. You know, my sense is he's not prepping. He doesn't think he has to prep. Well, I think the difficulty is he's the center stage. That means he gets the first question, and then he has to sit there for 5 or 10 minutes before they come back to him. Can he be patient? Can he do that? And does something get said in between that antagonizes him? And then he has the opportunity, if he's attacked, for 30 seconds to rebut. So I think it kind of depends on whether everybody else plays nice, which they probably won't, and they, or someone takes a poke at him.
I have been predicting that Governor Christie, in order to attempt to regain the ground as the loudest voice in the room, will go for the Donald's jugular. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, that's his natural instinct, and he's the last man on that stage. He's off in the corner, which just makes it a little bit more difficult, but I think there's no question he'll try and show that he's tough and aggressive and doesn't get bullied. And, you know, you got two bullies on the same stage. So.
Right. That's very interesting. And you make a very interesting observation, Ed. The Donald sitting still on national television for 10 minutes and not saying a word, can he physically do that?
I don't think he can. He's equally as important. The cameras, you know, the cameras are going to be on him no matter who's talking.
Right.
Every time he's mentioned, every time anything, they're going to flash the cameras on him. And so, as you know, a lot of these fidgeting little things, that you know, mannerisms, the way you look, all have an impression. You know, my sense, if he doesn't mess up, and I don't think he will, I think he's too smart to mess up, he doesn't say something too outrageous, you know, he'll come through this just fine, and his base will hold until the real campaign starts.
Has he succeeded in lowering the bar for his own performance tonight? And maybe performance is the wrong word, so that he does not have to sound like Bobby Jindal on policy?
First, he's not going to. He couldn't talk like Jindal or any of the rest of them on policy because he doesn't know the policy. You know, he has very simplistic answers. I'm going to build a fence. I'm going to make Mexico pay for it. I'm going to go kick the tail of the Chinese. I'm a great negotiator. I sell them apartments. If the follow-up questions are...
Did he actually say he's going to sell apartments to the Chinese? Go ahead, interrupted you because it was hilarious. Go ahead.
Listen, he's an entertainer. We live in the age of reality TV. We've never had anything quite like this. He's got an extraordinary base out there that wants to hear him. The ratings tonight, this thing is sort of a must-see, almost like a championship fight, more so than any normal debate would be in August. And so I think you're going to have a gigantic audience all wanting to see Donald and wanting to see how he behaves. There's more Democrats. Well, I have more of my Democrat friends saying, I can't wait for the debate tonight.
Right.
Yeah, obviously you want to see Trump do well and the rest of us crash and burn. But I think, you know, I think he's created an excitement. And part of it is, you know, as you know, the political scene very, very well. People, we've got the strongest field we've had since 1980 when Reagan ran the first time. But these people who've been governors, senators, very great political people, nobody cares anymore. It's sort of like, you know, you don't relate to me. I'm sick of the political process. I'm not going to pick the best of you guys. I'm going to pick somebody who can shake it up a little bit. And obviously that's what he's doing.
Is the Republican establishment shaking in its boots for fear that the Donald might run like Ross Perot did and deliver this to Hillary or Joe Biden or whoever the Democrats nominate?
What Ross Perot did. I managed that campaign for first place for
right.
3 months. He was at 39% in June of the total population.
Oh.
The difference between, you know, he could have been a very viable, credible candidate from the beginning if he hadn't dropped out. What happened to him is when the attacks came, the media started treating him like a mainstream candidate, he didn't like it. You know, he basically went in the fetal position, crawled on the bed. This guy loves combat. You know, you attack him, he's coming right back at you. He doesn't care what he says. And to a certain extent, you know, the mainstream voter may not like that, but Joe Sixpack out there likes that. And I'll just tell you one little fact. Before social media, any of the rest of it, Ross Perot had 4 million people call his 1-800 number, which is very difficult to get through, and say, I want to help you. I want to do anything I can to help you. Now, he never took advantage of that. But my sense is that kind of numbers are out there today for.
Okay. Is it your sense that the Joe Sixpacks who might vote for the Donald if he runs as a third-party candidate would, in the absence of the Donald running, support the Republican, whoever that is?
It may be. It depends on who emerges. You know, my sense is the guy who's lost the most but has the most to gain by Donald is probably Ted Cruz. Ted Cruz sort of fits the same constituency group. I mean, he's clearly swamped everybody else in media attention for the last 6-8 weeks.
Right.
Everybody who had a rollout, a good rollout, with the exception of Walker, has sort of been pushed by the wayside.
Don't you think that Donald has also harmed Governor Christie because he's, you know, as you say, you have two bullies in the room. One of them is going to prevail, and right now he's the biggest and loudest.
I think even if Donald wasn't in there, the failure of the last 6 months of Christie both to run the state effectively and to catch any kind of momentum, I just don't see him as a credible candidate.
Did Governor Christie miss the golden opportunity 4 years ago when party leaders were throwing themselves at his feet?
He would have been the alternative to Romney and could have been a very credible candidate. And that was his peak. I mean, the bottom line is he had this big, gigantic reelection landslide, as you know well, and it went downhill from there. I mean, the idiocy of the Bridgegate, whether he was involved or not involved, certainly
right.
at the time. And I think he's been living in the ditch ever since.
Yeah, I mean, the Bridgegate could very well be the death knell. That criminal trial is supposed to be the first week in October. In February, the first week in February of 2016. Guess what's happening that week? The New Hampshire primary.
Iowa, New Hampshire, right.
Now, in that case, the government's witnesses are going to say Governor Christie knew about it. The FBI agents are going to say, well, the government's witnesses told us Governor Christie knew about it. Both defendants are going to get on the stand and say Governor Christie knew about it. So everybody in the courtroom is going to be saying Governor Christie knew about it.
Well, you and I both know how powerful the governor of New Jersey is. And you know his personal style.
Yes.
They were not making any decisions that they didn't think he wanted them to make. It's like the first man I worked for was president was Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon did not break into Watergate, but he set a tone where his people thought they should break into Watergate.
Okay. Switching gears a little bit. Is Joe Biden a likely candidate for the Democratic nomination against Mrs. Clinton?
I think so, because I think the White House, I think the Obama team does not want Hillary Clinton. They feel their legacy is more intact if someone else is there than the Clintons. I think they're going to do everything they can to keep the Clintons out of there. And the only horse they have at this point in time that can be credible, I don't know whether they can beat her, but it can be credible, is Joe Biden. So
well,
I think
if the president wants to play Chicago politics, and I'm using that phrase to mean the hardest of hardball politics, wouldn't he just have Valerie Jarrett, his chief political guru, call Loretta Lynch, the attorney general, and say, unleash the FBI on Hillary? I mean, could you imagine if the FBI raided Hillary's homes and offices as they did to General Petraeus?
I think the reality is whether they give that order or not, it's going to happen. The FBI is already in there looking at lots of different things, as you know, once these investigations start. I think the difficulty is that Loretta Lynch is a different kind of prosecutor than the former attorney general, who was a political hack as far as I was concerned.
Right.
And I think they may make the system work, but I don't think she's someone that's going to play partisan politics. The critical thing, though, is the White House has all the power in the world to basically take anything that's there and leak it to the press, as they've done very effectively.
Will the Democrats, notwithstanding their adoration for Hillary and yearning for a return of a Clinton White House, come to the realization that the perception of her with respect to honesty and integrity is irreparable?
I think they're beginning to see that. You saw the latest poll, majority of white women are not supporting her anymore, and that's the base of her party. I mean, that's the base of her candidacy. You know, the truth of the matter is, I mean, she's a damaged candidate. If people don't trust you, they're not going to vote for you. At the end of the day, if they don't think you're honest, they're not going to vote for you.
Okay, one last question back to the Donald. What would he have to do to shoot himself in the foot? What would he have to do to turn the tide against him tonight?
If he spends the entire night tearing up the other candidates and not doing anything substantive and being viewed at the end of the day, it's not a very serious candidate. I think he's got his 20-25%, but can you grow that or will that diminish? If he can hold the 25%, he can win Iowa and New Hampshire. If he can't hold that, it slips back to 15-10%.
Do you think that he started this as a lark and now thinks he can actually be the nominee?
I think he has a big enough ego that he thought from the get-go that he was the most worthy candidate. You and I have been around lots of candidates
right.
in our lifetime, and there's always sycophants that tell him, run, Donald, run. And he doesn't need him. He just looks in the mirror every morning and sees the next president.
Is he, can you prep him? Can you manage him? Can you control him? Can you give him advice? Or he's not interested in that?
He's never been one that takes advice. And so my sense is he guides himself. Some of his team came to me and they said, because of my pro experience, could I give them advice on how to manage Donald? I said, I couldn't manage pro. I said, what I did was like an 800-pound bucking bull. You hang on, you try and go for the ride and not get trampled. I threw it off.
Got it.
I think Donald's exactly the same way.
Got it. Ed Rollins, who's one of the extraordinary Republican strategists going back to the days before Ronald Reagan. Ed, and my colleague at Fox News, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. 866-437-2536.
When we come back, do you think Hillary is cooked? I think she is. I think the FBI is going to be all over her, and the Democrats will recognize that. I think that Donald will be stronger after tonight. I think Chris Christie is going to attack the Donald. He's going to fall flat on his face. And I think Rand Paul is going to bring the libertarians, some of whom are wandering away, right back into his camp. Welcome back to Geraldo in the Morning. Judge Andrew Napolitano from the Fox News Channel, sitting in for the vacationing Geraldo. Peter in Garfield, New Jersey. I know Garfield, New Jersey. I used to live in Hackensack. Peter, welcome here.
Oh, we're paisans, practically.
Oh, yeah. God love you. What's on your mind, my friend?
Well, Your Honor, there's a long history of this Chicago thug machine destroying anybody who gets in the way of Barack Obama. This goes back to Congressman Mel Reynolds. Remember him? He
right.
was taken out.
Right. That's a Democratic African-American congressman from Chicago whose seat a young Barack Obama once coveted.
That's right. He ended up he didn't get the seat, but they did get rid of Reynolds.
Right, they put Reynolds in jail, right.
Exactly. And then there were those two senatorial candidates, both of whom suddenly
All right, are you suggesting that Hillary Rodham Clinton, the Secretary of State of the United States in the first Obama administration, the most popular Democrat in the country and the wife of the notorious William Jefferson Clinton, is in the Obama Chicago machine crosshairs as we speak?
Oh, there's no question about it. It is not to suggest that she's innocent in any way, of course, but it's the selective application of who you're going to go after.
Right.
You just saw this with Sepp Blatter, the head of the international soccer body,
right,
who is very close to Putin. So I believe that he was targeted. Now we're seeing Hillary, and it's a known fact that the Clintons and the Obamas hate each other. Now, I'm not interested in the gossip aspect of this. It's that he can get away with abusing federal agencies selectively like this. It's just outrageous. Where are the Republicans on this? That this has become a dictatorship.
Yeah. The Republicans are reduced to filing lawsuits against him. And if I were the federal judge, and I suggest to you that the federal judge who has this lawsuit, there is a lawsuit filed by the House of Representatives against the President of the United States, the judge is going to say, you know what, you have a constitutional remedy, and it's uniquely yours. It's called impeachment. You don't like what the president did? Impeach him. But don't come to the courts to expect us to tell him what to do. That's what I think will happen. But your argument is an interesting one, my friend from Garfield. You think that the Obama White House will unleash the FBI on Hillary. I will tell you this, there's certainly enough evidence to do it. There's certainly enough evidence just from what's in the public domain. I don't know what's in the private domain. I have not seen the emails that the Inspector General of the State Department sent over to the FBI. But just from the public ones that I've seen, which I characterized before, involving the location of Ambassador Stevens in Libya before he was assassinated, involving the location of no-fly zones and French fighter jets over the Libyan capital, and putting that stuff out to the public rather than securing it, there's more than enough here for a federal judge to sign a search warrant unleashing the FBI. Question is this, will that hurt her with the Democrats? Or do the Democrats want Mrs. Clinton in the White House so bad they don't care if she's the target of a criminal investigation?
Yeah, I don't think it'll hurt her too much in the primary. But you might, I don't know. I mean, if they actually go ahead and they start charging her, then, you know, she's done.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting to see psychopaths competing against each other like this. It's kind of like mafia wars, you know, the Obamas and the Clintons.
Got it. Interesting observation, Peter. Thanks.
Sure.
Thanks for joining us. You live in an area where some of the best pizza outside of Naples, Italy, is produced. Thanks for calling, Rich in White Plains, New York. Rich, do you really think the debate tonight is a joke?
I think they're a joke. So let me make a joke.
Go ahead.
I think all 17 candidates should be on that stage, and they should form a nice circle. Then they should raise their right hands as if they were pointing a gun. The moderator says, ready, aim, fire, and they all collapse as if they shot each other dead.
All right, that's how absurd you think this debate will be tonight.
Well, let me get non-funny.
Yeah, to be serious for a minute. We only have about 2 minutes before our break, about a minute and a half, actually. Go ahead.
It's because the candidates are at the mercy of the moderators hurling gotcha questions, looking for a food fight boost their ratings or to forward their political agenda.
Okay, but listen, they don't have to boost their ratings. It's the only show in town tonight. Talk about the Donald. Does he attack everybody else, or does he sound presidential? What do you think?
I think he's going to do what he's done all along. I think he's going to, and let me tell you how it plays in his favor.
Go ahead.
People are criticizing him because he speaks in generalities. When you've got that many people on the stage, you can't go into minutia. So he's going to be very comfortable speaking in generalities.
I'm going to reinforce your argument, Rich. They only have 60 seconds. They're going to ring a cowbell when you get to the 63rd second. So you're right. They have very little time to get into the detail. If Bobby Jindal were there, he'd still be introducing his statement. He talks in such minutiae.
Yeah, that's true. I think the Donald will only strike if he's hit, just like he's done before.
Who do you like? Are you a Republican? And if you are, and all 17 were on the ballot in White Plains, New York, and you had the chance to vote for one of them, who would it be? Who's the best person against Hillary?
I wish either Ron Paul or Ted Cruz or Scott Walker would have the same cojones as
the Donald.
The Donald.
You said Ron Paul. You mean Rand Paul, who'll be on the stage with him.
Rand Paul, sorry.
Right. Interesting that you named him first. Of course, that warms my heart. He's the only one on the stage tonight that wants to shrink the government. Thanks for the call, Rich. All the others want the government to work more efficiently. Government cannot work more efficiently. Welcome back to Geraldo in the Morning. Judge Andrew Napolitano filling in, attempting to fill in for the vacationing Geraldo Rivera, 866-437-2536. That voice you hear chuckling in the background, my fellow New Jerseyan and Fordham lover, the great Michael Gunzelman.
Hello,
where the
sir.
Hell did they find you, Guns?
I was, just getting my beauty sleep on, you know.
What time do you start?
I start about 3:30 every morning. You know,
do you give Don Imus a wake-up call in New Mexico or Texas or wherever he lives now?
Oh, yeah. Imus loves being bothered, let me tell you, especially by me of all people.
All right. Are you going to watch the debate tonight?
Of course. You ready? My man Trump is going to kill it tonight.
No,
I'm very excited.
What do you mean your man Trump? What does your man stand for? Aside from authoritarianism,
speaking the truth, he loves the truth. He's got the millennial vote. My fellow millennials out there, we're very excited. We're tired.
Do you
of
think
the
that? Do you think that millennials, who, in my view, are libertarian at heart, they don't want a draft, they don't want boots on the ground in a useless foreign war, they don't want to pay high taxes, they don't want the government in their bank accounts, so they don't want the government in their bedrooms.
Right.
With me so far? Do
right.
you think they would go for somebody like the Donald, who basically doesn't care about the democratic process, wants to order the Congress around?
Well, when you put it that way, that kind of seems a little bit rough. But no, I think we're just tired of being lied to, and that's the beauty about Trump. But when
yes.
you actually look into, does he have actual solutions for a lot of things that he's been throwing
does
out there?
Does Joe Sixpack care, or does Joe Sixpack just like the fact that he puts his thumb in the establishment's eye?
I think that's exactly what it's about. That, you know, we've been screwed so much, so much, and for so long that we just want somebody that just goes against what everybody else is saying.
Do you see him picking a fight with anybody? Take that back. Do you see anybody picking a fight with him, like Chris Christie, who's trying to regain the mantle of the toughest bully in the room?
Yeah, I mean, Trump definitely has a couple zingers for everybody out there. He's going in tonight. I'm sure he's got, you know, two or three liners that he has that to zing the other candidates. But for somebody like a Christie, who, like you just mentioned, needs that, you know, that extra push, absolutely. I see Christie going after Trump. Trump, though, I mean, is in the driver's seat. I don't really see him doing any wrong tonight. Even if he's not as – the only wrong that he might have is he might not be as aggressive as people are thinking that are hoping for.
All right. You are Brett Baer, mm-hmm. and the Donald is approaching his minute 60-second limit. It's 58, 59, 60 seconds, 61 seconds, 62 seconds. Mm. You know, you got 20 million eyeballs on you. What do you do to stop him?
In the beginning, you kind of...
Do you interrupt him? Do you cut him off? Because you know it will be painful.
Right. In the beginning, you let him go for at least a little bit more, but if he keeps doing it, then you have to stop.
Do you know
him.
What I think they're going to do? They're going to kill me for revealing this, although I already revealed it. A cowbell. Now, not an old-fashioned cowbell, but a computerized version of one. You press the button, and it sounds like an old lady is ringing a cowbell.
Right. Just,
and it's louder,
drown him
it's
out.
Louder
just,
than his voice. Yeah. Right. Well, think about it. I mean, they don't know when this debate is going to end. The reason Fox doesn't know when it's going to end is because of the rules. Mm. If Trump gives a 60-second answer and at the end says, by the way, Chris Christie, I have taken all your support, Christie gets 30 seconds to respond. So it depends on how many of those added on 30-second spots there are will determine when it's over. Fox is prepared to end the debate anytime between 11 and 11:45 tonight. Oh. It depends on how many of those added 30-second hits they have to put up there.
I think Trump is also smart enough to realize that all his answers aren't going to be going for 60 seconds, you know, because that will just make people kind of angry. Like, he's a smart man. I mean, look at what everything he's done. He knows what he's doing.
All right. Does he want to be the president of the United States, or is this just the greatest, least expensive advertising and most effective advertising campaign in the history of the world?
In the beginning, do I think he wanted to be? Absolutely not. But I think that's kind of the mantra that everyone's going with. At first, nobody thought that he was actually going to be serious about this. However, how great is NBC must be kicking themselves right now for, you know, canceling everything that they've had to do with them. The guy's a ratings gold right now.
Well, NBC, let's just assume he doesn't get the nomination and doesn't end up as president by some other means. I think NBC is going to go back to him, and he's going to demand three or four times what they were paying
him
when they fired him.
Yeah.
He didn't quit. They fired him.
Unbelievable.
They said to him, "You're fired," and it worked. What do you say to people who say to you, "We don't know where the Donald stands on issues. I'll make the Chinese pay." What the heck does that mean? I'll build the wall and make the Mexicans pay. What are you going to do, steal the money? How big are we really want to surround the country with a wall like the Russians did in East Berlin?
Well, the thing is, they're, first of all, politicians, so it doesn't matter what they say, because even once they get in there, it's going to be completely opposite.
Is the Donald a politician, or is he the anti-politician, Guns?
He's supposed to be the anti-politician, but still, to get to that level, to get to that stature that he is, because, you know, become a huge billionaire, etc., he knows how to play the game.
All right,
and
so,
once you get to that class, you are, for better or worse, a politician, which is why he has donated to Democrats in the past.
All right, so if Megyn Kelly says to John Kasich, the governor of Ohio.
I love Megyn Kelly.
Who doesn't love Megyn Kelly? I am privileged to work with her on a regular basis, Guns.
I'm not allowed to be near her.
Guns, your whole facial expression and personality is changing as soon as I mentioned her name.
Oh, yeah.
You're lucky there's no camera in here.
Okay.
But if Megyn Kelly asks John Kasich, what should the tax rate be? He'll give a 60-second sophisticated answer about, for this group of people, it should be 15%. For this group of people, it should be 30%. The capital gains, short-term, long-term, et cetera. If she asks the Donald what the tax rate should be, he'll go as low as possible.
Right.
Which resonates more with Joe Sixpack, a sophisticated, well-thought-out answer, or sort of a from the belly gut reaction?
Absolutely, the belly gut reaction, which is also what I think is hurting Rand Paul as well. I mean,
what's hurting Rand Paul? Tell me, because I'm very fond of Rand. He's the only one out there that wants to shrink the government,
right?
As I do.
I enjoy the whole libertarian movement, and, you know, like you said, for the millennials, like, oh yeah, that's what we want. We want less government, everything like that. But he's just not exuberant. He just doesn't have that oomph to him.
Does he not exude the libertarian mantra the way his father did?
No, his father...
Because his father's supporters would take a bullet for him.
Right, yeah. The Ron Paul is completely different from the Rand Paul crowd.
Do you think that Rand is attempting to broaden the base so much that he's losing his core supporters?
I think he just doesn't know what he's doing right now. I think his campaign is kind of in disarray. The fact that they don't know exactly what to do, because he needs more than just that typical Ron Paul crowd.
All right, so what does he do tonight? Does he gin up the Ron Paul crowd, or does he try and sound like Dick Cheney on foreign policy?
I think I think as far as for tonight goes, it's more important for somebody like Rand Paul to establish themselves more than somebody like Trump to establish themselves, because Trump can, like I said, he can really do no wrong. Trump can't do anything wrong tonight.
Okay, so I'm Chris Christie. Donald, you're a dope. Donald, you have no idea how difficult government is. You have no ideas. You just talk in general platitudes. You can't give a specific answer to a specific question. Donald?
Rip Chris Christie on his weight or something.
Let
like
me
that.
Hear
yeah.
It. Wait a minute. Do you think that Donald Trump would talk about two sore spots with Christie, his belly and his temper?
Rip.
Remember the ice cream cone melting incident? The state police, his own state troopers had to hold him back. Do you see that becoming an issue tonight?
So. Yeah, absolutely. Could you imagine?
Wow.
That's what we're going to watch, though. That's what we're waiting
for. All right, tonight. So is my boss, Roger Ailes, a genius, or is he a genius? Here we are in the middle of the summer, and he's going to have 20 million eyeballs watching Fox News tonight. And Who's paying for all this? The candidates who've been advertising on Fox News Channel so that they can get high enough in the polls so that they can get on the debate. Christie dropped $1 million in advertising on Fox News Channel in the past 2 weeks.
Just
guess
to get
what?
On.
It worked.
Yeah.
He made it by the skin of his teeth.
Well, thank God he's on it, not Lindsey Graham, that creeper, but and not a big Lindsey Graham fan. By the way, can you just go away? You're not going to win. Lindsey Graham is not going to win. I think we can all agree that.
John McCain predicted. Now, I could stop right there. Right. Who cares? But John McCain predicted Lindsey Graham will win the New Hampshire primary. What would you say if John McCain said that to your face?
You're insane, sir, but I appreciate your military service.
You appreciate it. Oh, wait a minute. Was the Donald right?
No, I don't think... No.
That John McCain is a loser
no.
because he got captured? Well, this is your boy, the Donald.
That's okay. What happens when you speak
so like, no, I'm no, the Don. I'm the Donald, and you tell me what I said wrong about McCain, Guns.
You don't go after that. He didn't win anything over from that. What positive came out of that? Absolutely nothing.
His
besides
poll
his poll numbers,
went up 10 points after he ripped into McCain.
Right, but not because of that. It just shows he can pretty much get away with saying anything. But as far as from a moral standpoint, he came across like an idiot. So, I mean, yeah.
Did you study morality at Fordham?
Oh, yeah, clearly.
Okay.
Have you seen me?
Systemic theology? Did you study that at Fordham?
I don't know what that word means.
Systemic what? I love all my time with you, Guns.
Let's go Yankees.
In the minute we have left, I want to go to the Yankees.
Go yes. Yankees.
How about this kid last night?
I like him.
Oh, my God.
He pitched great.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Nobody hit for him.
Yeah, no
hit. One run. Or two runs and two hits. That's it.
Can't go wrong.
Not a single walk.
I'll take
What's
that
his name?
All.
Luis Severino?
Severino, yeah.
Where'd
yep.
they get him from?
21-year-old. He's from Dominican Republic. And he pitched great in AAA. They brought him up against the Red Sox to
yeah.
start. Unbelievable.
Can CeCe still pitch? I know he's supposed
no.
to start tonight. But
I don't know what we
him?
Do. It's a, put him in the – I would can, say put him in the bullpen. But
can a guy like that work in the bullpen? Can he be a middle receiver like at the fifth or sixth inning or no?
Probably not, especially come playoff time. You can't risk putting him in there when every single game and every single inning matters.
Guns, I love when you're here.
My
I'm
man.
Filling in on Monday and Tuesday. Would you be here?
I'll call you when I'm in jail, all right, so you can
I'll,
help me.
I'll try and get you out.
What is your strategy going in if
it's
you want
to
share
it? Answer to it, Joe. It depends on how I'm treated. It shows – it depends. Maybe people will attack me, in which case I will absolutely attack back. Every one of them have problems, and I will certainly attack back. And I respect some of the people up on the dais. I won't tell you who, but I do respect some of the people up on the dais. Others I have less respect for.
I respect some of the people up on the dais. Others I have less respect for. Welcome back to Geraldo in the Morning. Judge Napolitano in for Geraldo, 866-437-2536. That was the Donald in one of his many pre-debate interviews last night on with my colleague Sean Hannity, basically sort of lowering the bar, lowering expectations for his own debating skills, but saying, I'm not going to attack anybody, but if they attack me, I'll go right back at them. Henry in Brooklyn, New York, Garden Spot of America. Henry, welcome. Welcome to Geraldo in the Morning.
Hi, Judge. I was always for Rand Paul because I'm a strong libertarian, and
right.
I don't like being involved all around the world. And even his father, I loved his father, but as soon as the Donald came into the race, the first second, I went all with him. And
well, let me suggest to you that you should reevaluate what you've decided to do. They are really the opposite. Rand is a serious libertarian, and the Donald is an authoritarian.
I know that, but as much as I like him, I know Rand Paul won't be able to do a lot, to accomplish a lot, because today, in I believe all politicians
Is it
have
the Donald's personality that draws you? Because if we go through the issues, you and I do not know where he stands on specific issues.
Right, but the most important thing is to balance the budget. Now, I believe most politicians have the nation's good interests at heart, but once they get in, they get corrupted because of the money. Because Donald Trump is so rich and bold, he doesn't need anyone's money. He's not going to get corrupted. He's going to do what he says he's going to do. So I think he can accomplish more.
Who's your second favorite on the stage, Henry? Rand?
Pardon?
Who's your second favorite on that stage tonight, Rand Paul?
Yeah, definitely. I love Rand.
Why do you love Rand? Because he wants to shrink the government? Because he wants to keep the government out of your emails and out of your bank account, right?
That's not the most. No, the most. The reason is I want America not to be the world, the police of the world, because it harms us. It takes our money away.
I agree with you entirely, but you know who disagrees with you? The Donald.
I know
but
that.
The Donald but wants to use the military to build a wall and control immigration. Come on.
That's not anti-Rand Paul, because you need to build a wall. The difference between Russia was building a wall to keep their people inside to keep them against their will. We want to build a wall so we don't get foreigners coming in and harming us.
Yeah, but once the wall is there, a president fill-in-the-blank could use it for whatever purpose he wanted. I don't want to sound like I see black helicopters over my house, but you have to admit, a wall is a wall. It can be used to keep people out or keep people in. Before I let you go, do you think many libertarians agree with you that they have dropped Rand Paul for Donald Trump just because they like Trump's forcefulness and personality and braggadocio?
I can't tell you if a lot of people do that, but I hope so. I mean, I was always in there, Donald, to run. I think he can accomplish a lot that others can't.
That's why I like him. All right. Thanks very much for the call. Mark in Queens, we got about a minute. What do you think, Mark?
Hey, thank you very much for taking my call.
First of all,
I got to tell you, I think Trump has taken a giant leap made it into a cannonball into the stagnant pond of political life. And I think that's what Joe Sixpack is now all about. And I think Joe Sixpack is turning out into tens of millions.
Do you think Joe Sixpack votes for the Donald if he runs as a third-party candidate?
No.
Because they don't want Hillary?
No, exactly. Nobody wants Hillary.
In just 15 seconds, what is appealing about the Donald to Joe Sixpack?
He's a man of his own words. He's going to do what he needs to do to, again, and I hate to keep saying it, make America great again. And we're not. We're far from it. And we need a guy like this that could take the reins, get us going into the right direction, and pull this country through to make it a superpower again.
All right. Nice summary of your perception of the Donald. We will find out in about 8 hours. Thanks very much for the call. Thanks for listening. Rita Cosby tomorrow. I'm back with you next week on Monday and Tuesday while Geraldo's in wherever he is. Geraldo in the morning on WABC in New York.